Welcome to the Rough Fish Registry. Hello, Chase.
Hello there, Pate. Nice shirt.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Hanging out, bro.
What are we, episode 22?
2-2. Dose of dose.
Double deuces.
That's right.
Coming in hot.
That's right, man. It's good. It's fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, what have you been up to? You haven't been bow fishing.
No.
I haven't either.
No. It's not hardcore enough.
Yeah.
It's hot. Well, it's actually not hot.
No, it's cold. Yeah, what cold, are you talking about?
Yeah, raining, nasty.
So, yep.
This weekend, had a block party.
Yeah.
Played some music and...
dropped some beats.
Something like that. Slap the bass. Slap the bass.
What movie is that?
I Love You, Man.
I Love You, Man. Yeah.
It's like the best romance comedy on the planet. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, what about you? Do anything fun?
Not really. Went to a birthday party yesterday. It was a water-themed party.
A what?
Like water-themed, like they had water balloons and all kinds of stuff, and rain. Yeah. So it kind of fit in well.
Yeah. Planned it perfectly. Nice job.
Kudos, nailed parents. It. Yeah.
That's fun.
So we did get some, I think we posted up about them. Got some new arrows to try out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's currency for us. That's our...
So if people ask if we've made any money, and we say, do arrows count? Because we've got a few.
They're Dead Ringer Tritons.
That's right.
Is that right? Yeah.
They're gnarly.
Dude, they're beefy. I'm kind of excited to try them out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm pumped about them. They feel pretty solid, and the design's cool. And
yeah.
Should be. We'll talk about those later.
Yeah.
Well, are we ready to roll into today's episode? Or
yeah, I think so. I think we got all the housekeeping out of the way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Find us on Facebook, Instagram.
That's right.
iTunes.
Yep.
Get that out of the way.
Mm-hmm. So, who are we talking to today? What are we talking about?
Oh, so most guys probably know him. He's kind of a semi-legend. Maybe not quite as much as Jeff Browning, but...
A big buff guide extraordinaire.
Yeah, he's...
That's how I first
saw
him.
The OG big buff killer.
Golly.
R.I.P. D.C. So...
Yeah, they got a few state records off that boat.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And...
Some big girls.
But anyway, he's son-in-law of John Dunshee from Show Me Custom Bow Fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess co-designer of these new lights we're talking about.
Yeah.
So...
Let's see.
Let's just bring him on. Robert North.
Robert, you there?
Hey, what's up, guys?
There he
is.
What's
going on?
Nothing much. Just sitting on my front porch starting to think about deer season with this cold front.
Oh, I know. I think they're getting ready to drop velvet and start chasing does.
That's what it feels
like. For
sure.
For sure.
Man.
Well, we still got a couple weeks left of bow fishing season, though, so I can't switch gears yet.
Yep. You're kind of – you've had a slow year bow fishing, I guess.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. I don't even want to talk about that. Selling a boat the end of April was not my best decision. I can say that.
Yeah, but
strike when the iron's hot.
Once you drive down and pick up that new rig, it's going to be all worth it.
Oh yeah, that's kind of my feeling as well. But you know, when I've got three buddies all decide to sell boats at the same time, doesn't exactly help our bow fishing for the year.
No, whose boat were you on in the open?
We were all my buddies, Chuck Gullett. We actually had to scramble to throw six of John's HPS on there right before the tournament. He was running halogens. And we can't show up to a big tournament running halogens. Those yellow lights, don't get me wrong, they're great and all, but they're not HPS.
No, they're not the eye of God off the front of the
exactly.
The Tower of Mordor.
Yes.
And not going to lie, though, I think we could have ran with flashlights, and we still would have pretty much sucked it up at the open. So,
yeah, I think it's been a while back. I told the story of you guys rolling in the cove we were in and me cutting you off.
I don't even think you really cut us off. We were just more excited to see that big prodigy and that television screen of a GPS you had, knowing we were in the right spot then. It was kind of a fluke, but didn't really matter anyway. You still stomped us.
Oh, it was a good time. I'm just glad it was you and not somebody else. Cause
for sure. But we couldn't keep up with the troller rig anyway, but no, hopefully next year we got a new boat and be able to do a little better, at least compete and be slightly above a mediocre bow fishing team like normal.
So So your old boat was a twin mud motor rig. Is that kind of the same avenue you're going with your new one?
For sure. It's just a essentially a running dual gator tails this time, a little different. Kind of the idea was buying a boat that I figured I could keep a while. I have a tendency to keep things, build them, put a wrap on them, and sell them. So I'm hoping with this one that it sticks around a little longer, can take the abuse. And I mean, you guys have a Prodigy, you know how those things are built. So I don't have a whole lot of fears there, but looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting it, getting the lights on there, and hopefully making it to the state shoot. We got to hopefully pick it up the week before the state shoot and then try and rig it and finish it and get down there and
learn to drive it and break the motors in. And
exactly. I mean, it doesn't take much for me to learn how to drive anything, but those dual mud motors, you can't beat them. They're especially for Missouri. Mm. Running airboat's nice, but I'm a poor Missouri guy, and most of my teammates are pretty poor as well. So the Prodigy, I'm hoping I'll stick around for a while and not hurt my pocketbook too much on gas.
Yeah, you don't burn quite as much fuel as an airboat, I don't think.
For sure. Yeah, I the airboat's nice and all. I know you're kind of wanting to get one, but it is what it is. I just don't. I have poor friends. That's pretty much the black and white of it here.
Yeah. So you have run high pressure sodium since you started bow fishing. Is that right?
So we've kind of went through the array of lights, just like pretty much every bow fisherman has done it for 10 years. You start off with the cheapest you can get, run some halogens. We even ran a set of compact fluorescent spiral bulbs. Worked pretty good, I'm not going to lie, but we broke them every trip. Switched over to halogens, even had a set of LEDs on my boat. Wasn't a huge fan of just running LEDs by themselves just for our stained water. And then kind of stepped our way up with HPS, and a lot of that came whenever I kind of got into the family with John Dunshy at Show Me Bow Fishing Customs. It was, I want to say, 4 or 5 years ago, we were sitting at an Easter get-together over at his family's house, and John had been talking about kind of getting to some aluminum welding, and I knew there was a handful of guys that had been making halogens, or not halogens, HPS housings, and the market was starting to die out there, and I know I had spoke with TJ Escott. He was building them, and I know he was getting wore out on them. So John kind of talked to TJ, and as did I, and TJ kind of, I don't want to say gave us his blessing, but John fell into the market that there was a need for them, and nobody was really wanting to build them in bulk. And John kind of fell into that, and we kind of rolled from there with the HPS housings.
So he's kind of, I mean, his housings are what I run on my boat. He builds a slimmer housing than most, and
for sure,
you know, pretty compact for a big 400 watt housing. But
for sure,
you guys were out, I guess, last year and had a bit of an epiphany, I guess.
Yeah, you can definitely call it that. We were shooting big heads, or attempting to shoot big heads, and we had three or four of our buddies. We were doing pretty good. We always are real adamant on running two spotlights and two shooters. And which works well for big head shooters. By no means are we the guys from AMS, but we were having quite a bit of success doing it and finding them. But our problem was we really wanted to be able to get those three and four shooters on the front of the boat to make the shots, especially if, you know, you're in a tournament, you want to try and get as many arrows in the water as you can. But what we were doing, running two spotlights, we would get right up on the fish, turn the lights off, you know, when we were ready to shoot, flip them back on, and two shooters, let them rip. What we were talking about is at least maybe running some LEDs to do the same on a Bigfoot switch, which a ton of big head shooters do.
Mm-hmm.
Works great, run a tower, and then it frees up all four shooters to take a shot. And what John had came up with the idea was to essentially install a 50 watt chip within his HPS housing, and run that on a Bigfoot switch. So essentially have a light that you can go out, shoot your big lakes, shoot just like a normal night with your HPS running a generator. And then if you get into big heads, or you want to get into a cove, or you're going around docks to not upset homeowners, you can kick those lights off, run your LEDs on a Bigfoot switch or however you want to do it, and still be able to fish. And really that was kind of the benefit that we were looking for. Mainly our idea was for the big head shooters to have the best of both worlds, but kind of expanded into being able to, I don't know, be more versed when it comes to shooting some of these bigger grass carp. Or, you know how it is, man. You get in the coves where you want to be quiet as you're getting in there, leave the lights off.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Darren Freeze and yourself shooting these floating buffalo. I know it's kind of a secret, but trying to really find places to do that and be quiet and still be able to be successful, we found that being a solid market that we could start trying to build something like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not just the having both the lights, the high-pressure sodiums and the LEDs for killing fish, but as bow fishing is growing, you know, we talked about it with Jeff last week, you know, bringing our tournament from a big 20 to a big 10.
Yep.
But also being able to cruise into some of these big coves on Lake of the Ozarks.
Exactly.
And not just light the world up.
Yeah, you got to think about our footprint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And 100% agree with you guys there. And that's kind of the problem we're running into is we get a lot of newer guys and they see guys going out shooting these huge stringers of fish and really doing well in these tournaments. But what they don't understand is we have to, as much as we hate it, we have to be considerate of these people who own lake homes. We can't use that excuse anymore of, well, they're on a lake home. They're on a lake. They should be expecting noise. No, yeah. You can't do that. Cause what's going to happen is all us guys are going to be buying $50,000-$60,000 boats. And they're going to shut bow fishing down and our boats will be worthless.
Yep.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it's just something to think about. And that was kind of an added benefit of the idea that John had came up with. So last year he built a prototype. I believe it was in September. He ran through a couple different designs and a couple different companies of LED drivers and chips just for durability, brightness. We've done a lot of testing over the past year, and we've just finished up our first set of six that are going to go on my boat in a couple weeks. And what we're hoping there is that will be his, I don't want to call it his original selling set, but it'll give people an idea of what to expect. He's going to expand on it. I'm just running 50-watt chips. He's going to offer two 50-watt chips, 100-watt LED for a little, you know, a little more brightness out there. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a quality light, and, you know, I'm excited to see where it goes from here. And I know John is as well.
So these lights are going to be – the high-pressure sodiums are going to be normal. I mean, they're going to be running, you know, 110 off your generator.
Yep.
And are the LEDs going to be 12 volt? Or are they going to be?
Yep. So what he is going to offer, and he's in the process, he's pretty much locked up who he wants to go with for his 12 volt LED chip. He's kind of looking at the idea of the 110s as well. I'm back and forth with it because my idea with the LEDs is to run quiet and be able to turn mm-hmm. them on and off need be. I'm not sure if the market will be as strong for the 110 and I'm trying to, John's a very smart businessman when it comes to this, and I'm trying to wrap my head around what his ideas are, but keeping your options open to run 12 volt, and 110 on the LED drivers, I can see a benefit of both ways. So
yeah,
that's his plan.
And you could run an inverter too between the battery bank and the
exactly.
set. Yeah. So you could, you could do either or. That was going to be my big question is, you know, what is the LED string? Because obviously for silent, the natural inclination is to go through 12 volt, but there's different, you know, there's all sorts
ways
of
to go from 12 to 110.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing, too, is you could get, you know, you could parallel, instead of paralleling a bunch of batteries together, you could series them and then run your inverter and you actually could get more amp hours with less cable
exactly.
and less heat and all that good stuff, so. Anyway, I was just that's interesting though.
So John's housings for his high pressure sodiums are kind of known for being slim, you know,
correct,
not real deep. Is this going to change any of that? Is this going to
the overall housing itself will grow 1 inch deeper? And the reason for that is one, obviously, to create a little more space for the LED driver, but two was to increase some of the surface area for the heat sink of that LED. As a lot of guys who build LEDs know, that heat sink is the most important part to keep them from burning up, keep them running a long time. We did a few testing on them to essentially see if that slim housing would work. And with the LED driver, the angles of that housing were just too steep to be able to mount it properly to get a good spread on that LED without it shining up in the air straight down at the water. I think the idea is guys can still obviously buy the normal HPS housings, the plug and play units that John's going with for I think it's 225 is what he's at right now. But what John is really wanting to do is still offer what he has done in the past, but give these guys an option that say, hey, look, we're only growing the housing 1 inch. It's really not changing a whole lot with that slim design. I mean, if you look at some of the other builders out there, they're still almost 3 to 4 inches deeper than John. So growing 1 inch from a slim design isn't going to change the dynamics of it much. Changes the look a little bit, but not a ton.
How deep is it currently? I've never paid attention.
You know, man, I can't think. I want to say it's 3 inches deep. And that's not including the lens. So this one, if I measured it right, I believe it was right at 4 inches.
So they're not going to be that much bigger than even a, you know,
no,
a traditional, no, like a classic looking LED light or something like that. So it's not like some big monstrous change.
Not at all. No, not at all. The big benefit that it's a real clean build. He's able to essentially with inside the housing itself, he was able to fashion up a mounting system where it hides everything behind the flashing. He's running 80, I believe it's 80 gauge housings. And then what we did, we went with 100 gauge bracket for the inside. And when we release the pictures, it'll make more sense of what we're talking about here. But we mounted the LED up high, and we've done it for two reasons. One, that the 6 inches raising it from the top of the from the bottom to the top of the housing really helps increase the spread of the LED. That's what we've noticed in our testing. When you get it on the water, is it going to make a huge difference? Probably not. But the big reason we put it up top there in the angles that we bent the bracket at, it's almost impossible for any water to get inside that housing and anywhere on the LED. Not only did we kind of design it that way, but we also have siliconed all the components, to protect it from any splash up, that you come from running some of these nasty, you know, the nasty tournaments, these lakes and the rollers start happening. But we really try to design this to keep in mind that driver is going to stay extremely dry, to heat sink, to last a long time and be as versatile as those HPS have been.
Gotcha. I like it.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of thought that's gone into it for sure, just like any good product. But it's cool to hear the process and we tried this and we didn't like that and this is why we did that. So that gives people extra confidence too, just to, you know, be able to hear a backstory and not just here it is.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. And we some of the testing that we've went through, just to give people kind of a peace of mind. When we really got serious about this, when we finally got a set made up, his prototype. Obviously, like I said, went through 4 different companies to find the brightest one. Once he found the brightest chip, we're big fans of that HPS color. The company he wound up going with was just in between that HPS and halogen color. We did a testing, side-by-side testing with a 70-watt HPS housing that he had. I understand it's not the 150, not the 400-watt, but that 70-watt HPS housing put out a ton of light. It was real comparable to a 500 watt halogen, and this 50 watt chip he's running was brighter than that 70 watt HPS. We were real happy with how it turned out. And then to test the heat sink, we went a little above and beyond. When it came to that, we ran the HPS 400 watt bulb and the LED at the same time. We left it on in his garage for almost an hour. No issues whatsoever. Not saying that we couldn't get a bad batch or a bad driver somewhere, and it happens. But the testing we've done, everything that he's researched, it's held up to everything we've put it through so far.
He's even with his high pressure sodiums, I don't see John just taking something and being like, oh, we'll just start selling this. You know what I mean? He's very particular about what he does and how he does it, and He told me some of the stuff that you were saying when I was up there a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, my mind just has exploded. I was like, I don't understand.
Believe me, you're not the only one. Sometimes we get in conversations, and I have to stare at him for 5 minutes and pretend I understand. Yeah. He's an extremely knowledgeable guy, and a lot of it goes over my head. But, hey, that's fine. As long as he understands how it works and he can explain it, And a lot of the knowledge has come into play because his patent's pending on this idea. And that's why I think he's had to be so knowledgeable on it, because you start playing with electronics and that kind of stuff, you're outside my league. I just don't want stuff to catch on fire, and he's very good at making that not happen.
So these lights are actually are patented, correct? I mean, the
patent is pending right now. So he's drawn it up with his lawyer from his company. A lot of the thing that he's trying to protect his idea. You know, we get some guys that pop up, they start making housings fall off the face of the earth. He's even had a couple where guys have claimed, well, you made these housings. He starts doing a little research, and it was some fly by night guy built some housing, sold them. Well, they weren't wired right. They start smoking. And so he's trying to his best to protect himself, protect his idea, and keep that from happening. So somebody doesn't try and build this LED, wires them up wrong, and burns their boat down. He's very specific with his patent and trying to get it taken care of. And that was his idea, why his release date is going to be around November 1st for taking orders. That everything should be finalized by then, and he'll be good to go on that.
Awesome. I can't wait. I don't know. Do you think, are you going to be able to retrofit some of his existing housings, or because of them being deeper, is it just going to have to be a replacement deal?
It's going to have to be a replacement deal. And the big reason is the angles of the new housing. They're real similar, but he has already got a template made up for the bracket system for the LED, and he's stamping those out probably as we speak. And he's trying to build those. So essentially everything is a real clean install, where if he has an issue where a guy busts a glass, which has been a rare case because he uses tempered, but if they bust a glass because a log goes through and smashes his LED, he can just send that bracket out with a new LED chip already installed, and they can just bolt it right back up and keep on running. The issue with the retrofit would essentially be that the angles being a little different, he would almost have to have everybody who had housings send them back and custom make brackets for each one of those LEDs. And that time consuming wise,
for sure,
he's already a one man show over there. Mm. It would be next to impossible for him to keep up.
He's not making very many HPS housings, is he?
No, you know how it is, man. I mean, you run a one man show. He sits behind that welding mesh for 8-10 hours a day and just tries to burn through them. And, you know, when tax time comes, he'll get, I think he's sold almost 500 housings this year already.
Yeah, it was some crazy number he was telling me. I couldn't believe it.
I know, and it's one after the next, and I do what I can, but, you know, with my job, it's next to impossible to get over there and give him as much help as he needs.
Yeah,
so
I think he said that it was last winter he built 200 or 300 to just stick in the back for reserves, and they were gone in like a week or something.
Oh my gosh.
It was ridiculous, man. And I'm the same way. Tax time comes, that's boat money.
Yep.
This year to help pay off my wife's car, which not really thrilled, but hey, it is what it is. But no, tax time comes and guys got the money and everybody's getting the itch come January and February to start shooting fish again. So that's what his idea is. Get him released by November, start taking some pre-orders, and build up a good surplus of these things. So when it does come time and guys are wanting to step into these, they're ready to go. And he doesn't have a whole lot of lead time.
Yep.
Perfect.
So other than housings and lights, Show Me Customs does a little bit of other work, don't they? I mean, a little bit of fabrication.
For sure.
HydroTurf, not motor repair, but...
Right.
I guess if you stick a T-post to the bottom of your boat, he can probably fix you up on that deal.
Flip pods, for sure. Is that right?
For sure, man. He does it. You know, he's a damn good welder. I mean, he can come up with great ideas. He's real good with angles. He'll do just about anything that involves aluminum work, steel as well. He's helped a buddy out on a couple trailers that, I mean, you know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know how it is. You buy a boat that's secondhand from somebody and you got all these big ideas for it. Well, the problem is half the time you can't find somebody that, one, understands bow fishing, two, understands the ideas that you give them and how they'll work with a bow fishing concept, and three, have the ability to do all that. There's some great guys and great fabricators around the country. I'm not taking that away from any of them. But I think John understands the concept and what needs to be designed, how things need to work. So that does definitely add to being able to build bowfish and Dax walk-arounds. I mean, there's pictures of the old airboat I had. We turned that thing in for it was a piece of junk when I got it. I'm not going to lie. And he did a lot of work to it and ran a lot of inches of weld on that thing. And the same with my last dual rig. Came up to him with a couple ideas, the light rail being one not being enclosed. And a lot of guys start running that. And we have a few local guys that have taken their stuff to John time and time again to get those at least things fixed or added on to their boat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he does. I mean, on my boat, he's built a bracket for my kicker steering. You know, my old boat, he's hydro turfed it for me. I mean, he can kind of do it all, which is nice, just being able to drop it off there. And, you know,
definitely.
He's out of St. Louis, so it's not too far away from me. And, you know, you've got somebody that bow fishes, you know, and that loves the sport that's working on your boat, and it makes it a little,
yeah, you're a little
easier to swallow than just some Jim Bob that can weld, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I will say when it comes to installing hydro turf, I can't hold a candle to it because I get so frustrated with that stuff. He's very meticulous and takes his time on it. When it comes to Robert doing it, he's just slathering the old 3M stuff down and sticking it. Hopefully it's straight, and then half the time it's not.
Just like a stamp, just licking it and sticking it.
You got it, man. Hey, that's how it goes. When you're ready to shoot fish and you've been out of a boat for 3 or 4 months, you just want to slap the stuff on and go kill stuff.
Yes, yes. Oh, so, well, I think that's about it. We kind of got all the...
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
No, I mean, that's going to be... That can potentially a pretty big game changer, you know.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's a really fresh idea and, you know, kind of plays off both worlds. Do you guys do the same kind of testing? I'm gonna assume so, but I'm kind of LED ignorant or light ignorant, period. But I don't know if you follow, like, what Gary Briggs does as far as testing goes. I mean, do you guys do the same kind of testing, or is it just totally different? And
for like, looms?
Yeah, for, like, not just looms, but what's the other? I should have that off the top of my head, but there's some other
kind
of...
His is Lux. Well, he's testing off Lux.
Okay.
But...
So, I'm gonna be straight honest with you here. I don't know how to do that. I guarantee if I asked John to do it, he could figure out how to do it, probably build something to test the damn thing,
right,
and have it back to me by the end of today. And I'm just not gonna BS you. When it comes to our lights, the biggest test that we've always done is we put the things on the water. We can sit in front of a meter all day and say this works great, this is this. But my eyes don't lie. When I throw them on a boat and put them on water, if it's penetrating better than this light, then that light, in my opinion, is probably better.
Yeah.
There's no question about that if somebody can get on a boat that has the product. But there's got to be some kind of barometer for somebody to be like, I'm going totally blind into this.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure John could come up with it, and we could probably go about doing that testing and more for just a peace of mind. So there are numbers when it comes to sales. You're probably just like I am. When it comes to buying stuff and spending a lot of money, you like seeing those numbers.
Hey, it is. I mean, it's a show me state. Come on, boys.
I like looking at the high pressure sodium and seeing 48,000 lumens. I was like, mother of God.
Oh, you know what? They also measured like the energy, like lumens per watt of energy.
Oh, yeah.
That to me was really interesting too. Like, it showed the efficiency of it. There's no question that there's more light.
I think if it was just an LED, you know, if it was competing in just an LED market, that it might warrant actual testing. But with using them, with having high pressure sodiums on the boat also, and just using them for, you know, whether it's around docks or, you know, shooting big heads, where not a lot of lights really needed anyway.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't think it would matter.
Yeah, to me, there's nothing to compare it to in this instance because it's a one of a kind. But just for the simple sake of a sales tactic where it's like, hey, you know, we're so confident in the product, we're actually going to have some third party test it just to show you exactly what it's going
to
do.
To say this 50 watts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just, many.
That's my point. Whatever. Not to where I'm like questioning the product at all. It's just a matter of, you know.
Yeah. I honestly, that's a great idea. And that was John and I kind of went back and forth on how in-depth the testing goes. And I'm sure if this really gets to a point where he wants to put it a head-to-head test against some of the other 50 waters, I would have no doubt that he wouldn't have any reservation on doing that. Kind of our mentality, what Chase said with it, is these aren't going to be our primary bow fishing lights. These are going to essentially, if it adds that one or two 40, 50-pound grassies in a tournament because of these, then they're worth it. Oh, if yeah. we're able to
no question.
10 more big heads because of it, we're going out on a Friday night, then it's worth it. I think that's kind of our market. And you guys know how it is. You shoot stain water. I'm a partial to the HPS. Guys will fight tooth and nail saying LED's this, HPS that.
Yeah, that's silly.
I don't really care what it is as long as you're shooting fish. The idea with running the LEDs, and I think the argument some people are going to make is say, well, you're only running, say you run 6 HPS up front. You're only running 6 LED chips up front versus guys who are running 10 to 12 lights on front. And my rebuttal to that would say, well, you have to understand, we are not doing this as making it our primary light. This is a secondary light just for specific needs during a tournament or during a specific type of fish that you're trying to shoot. So,
right. Yeah. No question.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I think John's, it's good to see at least people trying to think outside the box here. TJ, when he made the shoot through, I mean, that it's like everybody's mind was blown, and it was such a simple, great idea. And that's kind of what we thought here. Take two really great ideas that already exist and combine them and see where we can run with it. And I think he kind of hit a home run with this. And I'm excited to see where it runs next year and see if it really, truly does make our success better. We got to do better than shooting, I don't know, I think 65th in the open. So anything.
You know, I'm excited. I'm probably going to have to try them out just because on my boat now I've got the high-pressure sodiums, but I've got a bunch of Pate's flea bait lights duct taped to my
yeah they were free
rail.
So you know I wouldn't like go dog them too hard.
they worked. I mean, they did almost burn the boat down at one point.
That was Chad's fault, but
yeah, that was
see, perfect right there. John's gonna keep your boat from burning down. That's our new slogan.
That's right.
Yeah,
show me bow fishing, we won't burn your boat down.
If we do, then we'll close the business and you'll never hear from us again.
We will run.
That's right. Real quick, Robert, what kind of bow are you shooting?
You guys know it. Everybody's shooting Osprey. I've got two of them in my garage, man. You can't beat them.
Yep.
That's right.
What arrows you going with? Arrows and points.
Right now, man, I shoot the plain Jane white arrows because I lose them too much. But I have had so much success with that AMS Chaos. I did like the point that you guys were talking about last week. What I saw on Facebook, kind of looked through it. I'm excited, but man, that AMS Chaos, we've shot some stud buffalo, and my pull-offs in the past 2 years have went from, I don't know, 50% with that, with some of the other tips, to, you know, we may lose one to three fish a night on those bigger buffs.
Is that Chaos is it a three barb or is it a?
Yeah, it's
I can't
a, it's
think
a
of what the Chaos is actually. I'll have to pull it up.
It's real similar to the interlock. And everybody loves the interlocks, and I have no problem with them. The thing I hated was I had to take the tip all the way off.
Mm-hmm. Drop
it in the fish barrel, and it's gone.
So it's similar to the anchor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what I said? That's what I'm trying to talk about, man, the anchor.
Okay, that's what I shoot. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Tip. Great tip.
Yeah, that anchor. I don't know why I said the Chaos. I know they got another one out there, but, yeah, making that where you only have to turn the shaft two times and it releases.
It's bulletproof. It's good stuff.
Yeah, that's very similar to that the Dead Ringer tip that we got to try out.
The Dead Ringer barbs, though, are bigger.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
They're a 3-inch hold.
Way longer.
Holy smokes.
Yeah,
it's gnarly.
The only thing, you know, I'm not going to say interlock, you know, or this Dead Ringer or the AMS tip is if you don't get a full pass through, sometimes it'll just pull that arrow right out of that fish.
Right, right. They got to expand those barbs.
Yes, yes. And that's the only. I used to say I didn't care until the first buff I shot in the open this year that pulled out on me. Mm. I mean, I just smoked him right in the side and I didn't get a pass through and it just pulled right out and he swam off.
Yeah. He must have been a stud.
He is a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm ex-
so I took that arrow off and I put the muzzy on with the big fish point, and I didn't lose a fish the rest of the night. I was pretty happy about that.
Hmm. Yeah, and I liked it. I liked that the muzzy big fish, and you're talking about the adapter, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I've had a struggle with. Like, we get real lazy when it comes to our ospreys. You go out and shoot numbers one night, you leave your bow set at 20, 25 pounds. I always feel like that muzzy, that adapter, I need to crank my bow up to 40 to 50, which is probably unnecessary, but I just have that doubt in my mind.
Just to get that little extra barb through it, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
So, gotcha. No, I'm looking forward to it, man. Hopefully the state shoot will go real well, and, you know, that's just a couple weeks away. We got a little lull in the action here, so probably a good thing.
I'm excited to see your new rig, and
me too, man. Me too. Well,
get a ride on it sometime.
You guys shooting the Iron Man next week, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You're better men than I, because I can't do that.
It was brutal out of a troller rig, but now that I got the kicker, it's really not too bad. I mean,
well, yeah, definitely. It's I could be imagine trying to. This is the first year in probably 5 or 6. Yeah, well, I don't want to say. Yeah, probably 5 or 6 years that we had to run a troller during a tournament. I wanted to jump off the boat and drown myself.
So, no, I can see that.
Oh, it's okay,
guys.
That was rough.
There's still some of us troller guys out there. Keep the faith.
And, well, look at guys.
Look at Darren Freeze.
Yeah,
just what I was getting ready to say. Beats me in every tournament, and he's running a troller. You know.
Yeah.
With the pro guy batteries.
With the pro guy batteries.
I know it comes down to covering water, but man, those guys got voodoo or something going on, because I don't even know. I don't even know what they're doing. It's just mind blowing.
Oh, he's just an OG. He's been doing it so long, and
yep.
He's where me and you might know 2 or 3 spots if the weather's doing something, or where we've seen fish in the past, he knows 20 or 30, you know.
Every bend.
Yeah.
He told me on one of the lakes, and I'm not gonna say which lake it was, he told me he had 1,000 waypoints marked on one lake that he shoots tournaments on regularly. I have like 7 on that.
Yeah. No, I know the feeling.
I probably shouldn't say that, because now somebody's going to take a hacksaw to his GPS and cut that off, and we'll start getting beat by them.
That's funny. There's a big elk hunter, Randy Newberg, and I don't know if you may be familiar with him, but he's got this GPS, and he's got a show, and he said someday he's going to auction off his GPS, and like it was on the message boards. They're like, that GPS, it's all public land, you know, like over the counter tags are like, that GPS will go for $500,000. I mean, he kills studs every year.
Hey, like, man,
you know,
it's
Robert goes out there with a recurve.
I know, it's cool.
We've done it a couple times. I will say this: there's been at least 4 different bulls in my mind. If I had a compound, we would have been, our success rate would have been 100 times better. But man, it's tough hunting public land, trying to get a bull under 20 yards. It's not easy, but you know, the challenge is just as much of the hunt as killing one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember who I was talking to, but we kind of compared public land elk hunting to bow fishing. Cause it's, I mean, not that it's, you know, the same, but you're out there on a place anybody else can pull into and find something, or
and they could roll by with a jet ski or a dirt bike at any time too.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, man. I mean, you get that public land,
except for the draw tag thing, or
the thing is, units. Two guys can look at public land or public water, and one guy say this looks like a great spot for this reason, and the other guy's me standing there looking at the same spot, going, this looks terrible. Mm-hmm. Usually the guy who knows more, that's done it more, like Darren Freeze, or guys who have public land elk hunted all their life, it's a challenge. But you know, I guess the challenge is what thrills me. If it didn't, I wouldn't do it.
Yep, got to have that competition in life.
Right.
For sure.
Yep, exactly. So,
well, I appreciate you coming on, Robert, and
for sure, good conversation.
Hopefully, cool stuff. Your boat's knocked out. And we'll see if the state shoot in a couple weeks.
Now, did you say you were going to have some prototypes on your boat at the state shoot, maybe?
Yes. Yep. So that's the other thing. The prototypes will be on my boat. They're all built. We just got to wire them up as soon as we get the boat. So
one more reason to go.
Yep. That's kind of our idea of we wanted to be able to release them for the state shoot. And as long as, you know, God willing, they'll be on there.
Awesome. You know, Pate could supply you with some nice light lithium batteries for your mud rig to gain a couple mile an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, man, if I spend one more dollar, my wife is going to divorce me.
There'll be a few, it'd be a few dollars, not just one.
Yeah.
they are not cheap.
Oh, they're not. But man, I'm telling you, everybody I've talked to, they are nice. I just can't afford them. I get the knockoffs down at Ellis Battery, and hey, they last for 4 hours.
Coming so deep.
That's why I don't run a troller, man. I don't have to deal with that.
Okay. Yeah, well, I got a store in St. Louis now. You don't have to mess with that anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just totally shoot your business down, didn't I?
That's all right. Good.
Don't you worry.
Ellis sucks anyway, man.
Okay. All right.
They give me skunk batteries.
Okay. Yeah, we don't need to go there. They're nice guys.
Yeah.
No, it's good stuff.
Well,
all right. Yep. Ellis, well, enjoy your week, and hopefully we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir.
Get out there and take your wife out on your date tonight.
Sounds good. Yeah, she's stepped outside twice now, pointing at her watch. So don't get me in trouble more than buying this boat.
All right, man.
See you, fellas.
Thanks a lot.
We'll see you.
See you, bye.
Man, I just love all the new technology coming out.
It's cool.
Yep. I mean, you know, it's seeing bowfish and grow and change and new guys come up with new stuff, you know.
What a cool idea, too. And it's not even that, like, out of left field, but at the same time, it's, you know, it could be game changer.
Yeah. I mean, especially for the guys that, you know, if they shoot big heads or any other floating fish and, you know, want to have the high pressure sodium.
What do you
on the
mean?
Also
the floating fish. Gar.
Gar.
Yeah.
Garfish.
Cool.
Yep.
Yep. Tilapia.
According to Browning, tilapia. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
They get up there and swim around like
tilapia.
That. Tilapia.
Yeah. You ever heard that?
No.
They put, like those tilapia farms.
Yeah.
They'll like feed them feces. They'll feed them crap, man. Yeah. I don't. I'm asking when my fish tacos roll out. I was like, is that tilapia? They're like, yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm going to pass.
Yeah.
They eat poop for a living.
Yeah.
It's like carp, man. Yuck.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. You got to die of something.
That's true.
I mean, whatever.
I died because I ate poop-flavored fish. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. So,
good talk.
Check their website out. Hate to say it. Just Google "show me custom bow fishing."
We'll have the link in the blog post.
Yeah,
hopefully have some pictures.
Yes,
to release as well.
Yeah, he said he was going to send us some. So,
mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Do you guys think we need to start writing a blog?
Oh,
I know. Maybe Trevor will do it.
We can get Cashmere Killer to write.
Yeah, I'm not a writer.
What about T-shirts?
Yes, we have a sweet T-shirt idea and hat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Guess like visors?
No.
I do.
Yeah. You can order one. Maybe Kneeball will make you one visor. Just
Dad. Okay. That's enough.
Yeah. But
yeah. Let us know if you're listening still.
Yeah.
Gear. If you'd like to rock the... Here's if we did it, all the profit would go to...
Pate's boat fund.
No,
not
that either. Probably some new equipment so we could do mobile recordings.
Yeah, we're probably gonna try to go to the ATA show.
We're gonna try.
Yeah,
be kind of cool.
Yeah, at least wander around and like stare at people. Like
we'd have to get some polos from Ryan Hensley, but
maybe use Jeff Browning's phone. He's got a good GPS on it.
That's
get
right.
Us there.
That's right.
Oh, it's getting bad.
It's all in good love. All right.
Yeah.
Guys, we'll talk to you later. See you next week.
Stay rough. I had to do it.